You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. You might have heard this on the news. A person who wanted to transition from a male to female identity has lost a lawsuit against her former employer. RG and GR Harris Funeral Home fired Amy Stevens for planning to dress as a female at work. The owner said he believes gender is an immutable, God-given gift. Attorneys for Stevens say the ruling will make it nearly impossible to enforce any civil rights law if an employer can simply say the law is against its religious beliefs. Attorneys for the funeral home say the ruling is a victory for religious liberty and a check on government intrusion. Joining us to talk about the ramifications of this ruling is Emily Devendorf. She's president of the Lansing Association for Human Rights. What does this mean for transgender people in the workplace?
Well, this ruling could have some pretty far-reaching implications for a couple of reasons. When the EEOC challenged this funeral business, it was only the second case of its kind to do so. The other case was actually filed on the very same day in Florida and has since been settled for $150,000 with the business agreeing to adopt a trans-inclusive anti-discrimination policy and do trainings on anti-trans discrimination. So it looked like everything was going in the direction of recognizing trans people as equal and protected under Title VII, and I'm sure we'll get to that a bit later. But when this ruling came down, it has set the standard for businesses being able to legally violate established civil rights non-discrimination laws in order to practice and, they would say, although I would argue it doesn't need it, protect religious expression.
What larger implications are there for not just transgender people, but others to whom a business might find religious objections to serving or employing?
Well, now that a decision has stated that you can ignore civil rights laws based on your own beliefs and essentially biases, since that's what a lot of our beliefs translate into, that can be applied to any of the protected classes under our civil rights laws. Now, another thing that the judge said in his decision on this case was that his decision was partially based on the fact that trans people are not specifically listed as protected classes under the Civil Rights Act. Although the EEOC has interpreted Title VII to protect them, they are not explicitly protected under our Civil Rights Act. So he went back to the fact that we don't have laws in place that specifically name trans people to say that this religious expression could be turned into legal discrimination, essentially.
This was a ruling by a federal judge. There are no federal laws, as you've explained, protecting transgender people. There are no state laws protecting transgender people. What's that say to you about where the law and society are regarding transgender people?
Well, this is a clear attempt to ensure that trans people do not achieve equal rights anytime soon. And what is particularly interesting about this case and this decision is that it is an example of conservatives trying to play both sides of this. Because conservatives in Michigan and also outside of our state and other states trying to gain protections on the statewide level, conservatives in Michigan used the fact that the EEOC interpreted Title VII to protect transgender people as an excuse to try to not include trans people in our attempt to amend our state Civil Rights Act. So the Republicans themselves were saying trans people are already protected. The EEOC says so. And now we're getting a ruling that says if trans people are protected under Title VII, it's not specific enough, and we can ignore it if we have a strongly held religious belief.
And so the bottom line is federal protection, state protection, neither is happening, and the legislature was saying the federal government, Title VII, would protect them, and it doesn't. And that was the reason they didn't add them into protection under Michigan's civil rights law. So now there is no protection guaranteed so far as this ruling is concerned, for transgender people. And it puts a lot of questions about other people who might not be protected as well as we thought they were.
Absolutely. That's exactly the case.
Okay. What do you think is going to happen next?
Well, we don't know yet if the EEOC is going to appeal this case. We do know that Judge Cox, who did release this ruling, he noted that dress code could qualify as unlawful discrimination the dress code at this business, but it wasn't part of the EEOC's case. That is another angle that could be used on this. But again, that brings us back to the ambiguity in Title VII that needs to be addressed, because the reason Title VII was interpreted to protect trans people is because it prohibits discrimination based on sex, and that also includes preferences, expectations, or stereotypes that are sex or gender-based, but it does not name trans people. So I think we would come up against some of the same challenges there, which means that at the state level, on the federal level, our non-discrimination policies have to be clear about the fact that trans people need to be protected equally under the law, and those laws need to be enumerated in order to reflect that.
Emily Diefendorf is president of the Lansing Association for Human Rights. Thanks for taking the time with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.